on radio, streaming live on investtalk.com, and for our podcast subscribers. This is Invest Talk, above average investing for the average investor. Invest Talk is made possible by KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm serving clients throughout the United States. And now, KPP Financial President, Financial Advisor Steve Peasley.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to this Monday edition, November 9th, of Invest Talk. I appreciate being with me here this Monday. We're here to help you sort out the good, the bad, and the ugly. Maybe not the snow so good and maybe not so ugly, but try to sort it out anyways. Now, the mutual fund industry is an extremely important tool for investing in the stock market. It offers the ability for the average investor to achieve instant diversification and access to great managers. Even institutions use mutual funds to asset allocate and try to gain access to, you know, parts of the market that's very difficult or not very transparent. Well, and of course, mutual funds sometimes get a bad rap. We all know that. But they are still the rare success example of financial innovation. Now, most people will say, yeah, but they most time cannot beat the index. Why do I want to invest in a mutual fund that doesn't beat the index that it's linked to? And that is true. But try to remember, there's 20,000 different mutual funds available, 20,000. And there's only a few thousand that are no loads. And a few hundred of those are really good funds. You don't have to, just because most don't beat their indexes, there are those who do, and there's those who don't even try because that's not what they're designed to do. So it depends on what you're after. There's many factors here. There's many factors to look at. So don't just dismiss mutual funds. You shouldn't. Now, today our talking point is more about the things that can go wrong with a mutual fund portfolio. I mean, what's wrong with some of them? I got three things we want to talk about. But overall, the experience has been very good. The problem is people are trying to time in and out of the market. And that's where the most severe underperformance occurs. I'm talking about less than half of the market over any length of time is an individual's performance compared to the index, compared to even that own mutual fund that they're buying, half, because they try to buy and sell at different times. Buy, and they tend to buy high and sell low instead of buy low and sell high. But our discussion will be much broader than that, of course, because we'll include your topic. Your topics are number one. We're ready to answer your call, 888-99-CHART. You can call it anytime you want. So let's take this question now from our 24-hour listener line. Oh, prefer that. We just had a caller come in. Let's go to John first. How are you doing, John?
Fine, Steve. I had a question. I own GE a few hundred shares a long time, and they got a offer expiration November 16th, you know, this month, and it says for each $100 of GE common accepted for an exchange, you would receive, if you agreed to it, if not, then you'd stick with GE, $107 of Synchrony, that's a symbol, SYF. So I was just wondering, what do you think of both companies, GE and, you know, if you have time, SYF, that's Synchrony, they want to trade $100 to $107 of Synchrony.
Well, I think, aren't they spinning that off? I think they're spinning, yeah, it's just
maybe.
Yeah, I think Synchrony's is a spinoff from the main company, GE, General Electric. You're not going to get much choice. I think you're just going to get it. End of story.
Oh, okay.
Now it's a matter of what are you going to do? You want to hold on to that stock, or do you want to sell it and keep holding on to GE? My personal opinion is you keep holding on to GE, and I don't care too much for the spinoff, really.
Got it. That's okay. What I was thinking.
Yeah, just hold on to the GE. I think that's a better bet. John, thanks for the call. Appreciate it.
Okay, bye.
888-99-CHART. Now let's take a quick look at today's market. How to fix your mutual fund portfolio first. That's one of our talking points. China is now the U.S. largest trading partner. Did you know that? It won't stay there. I'll talk about that. October jobs report may be an outlier according to a couple other statistics being released. kind of indicating that 271,000 may not be the norm. It may be an outlier. And third, OPEC has open disagreements between members and some non-members that, you know, are related to OPEC. I want to talk about some of those disagreements. But today, the market was down pretty decent, 180 points on the Dow, 52 points on the NASDAQ, and 21 points on the S&P. And you can almost feel it coming because it got right up to close to where the top was before the August crash, right there. And you can tell a few days, it's just a little bit of hesitation. So this is normal. I would expect maybe a 50% retracement back down to the halfway mark. Remember, it moved up all October. Very strong for October. I wouldn't be surprised if it gets back half that. That would be normal. Maybe a third. But we'll see. It's just not, remember, the market moves in two directions, people. It generally has a bias to the upside, and that's where you should be most of the time. But it's not always a one-direction market. We should learn that this year. The market's pretty much flat to maybe a tad down now for the year. For the year. So we've had ups and downs for the year. Nothing major except for that August fall, which is from the top to the bottom, about 13%. And 10% would be considered a normal correction. We just don't see them very often. So should we have another correction? Well, you know, what I would think. I don't think it's going to be that dramatic, but you never, I don't know. There's no crystal ball. When you call up people and ask them, where do you think the market's going to go? No one really knows. No expert knows. No pun. We can tell you probabilities. We can tell you seasonalities. We can tell you certain things, but we don't know. We just don't. It's just not. No one knows. So that's what we're going to talk about. Let's talk about what's on your mind. What do you want to discuss today? 888-99-CHART is our number, 888-992-4278. Did you vote on our survey, the subject? You'd help decide the topic this time. The webinar is coming up on November 18th. You said you wanted more information on building a strong portfolio and finding strong dividend-paying stocks. That was your topic number one. So join Justin and me on November 18th at 6:30 p.m. Pacific time. And for this 1 hour, it's free. 1 hour free webinar. You can register now at investtalk.com.
Hi, Steve and Justin. This is Frank from Danville, California. I'd like your thoughts and your input on a stock called Yandex. The ticker symbol is Y, N like Nancy, D like dog, X like X-ray. I'm thinking of this for a long-term investment. I like the revenue growth and the net income growth of the company and even the earnings per share over the years. The one thing that concerns me is the free cash flow for the company has been on the decline over the past 3 to 4 years, as opposed to those other metrics that have been growing. I know free cash flow is less likely to be manipulated through accounting tricks like those other metrics. The other things I like about this company is the current ratio and the debt to equity looks good and healthy. So I like your comment. Thank you, and keep up the good work. Appreciate your help.
Okay, it's Yandex, NV Class A shares, Yandex, Y-N-D-X. It's headquarters out in the Netherlands. It's a Russian provider of internet search and web contact, including GNews, Mail, Maps, via Yandex RU. Yandex.ru, Russia. It's a Russian company, everybody. Russian. I wish that I had more confidence in the Russian government and the rule of law there, but I don't. I have no confidence in them. So it's tough because it depends on how politically connected the company is, really. It does make money, which is good. It made $1.12 a share in 2013. That was its best year. 2014, it only made $1.03. 2015, this year, it's going to make 56 cents. And then next year, it'll finally bounce to 69 cents. So it's going to have a tough year. It is a $16.07 stock. Therefore, when it makes 69 cents next year, that's going to give it about a 20 PE, a little less than 20 PE. The five-year average is 15 to 84 for the PE, so that's good. Good return on equity, good cash flow. Doesn't have a lot of debt. All those things you mentioned are all true. Doesn't pay a dividend. So you really want to buy this thing for growth. Unfortunately, sales growth has been pretty lacking here in the last year. Before that, the year before that, it was growing pretty good in the mid-20s. This year, it's been shrinking in 30% area all year long. You know, so it's not, I want to know why. Why is it shrinking its sales? Remember what it does. It's a Russian provider, internet search and web content. You would think that that would be growing. Now, Russia economy is tanking, so maybe that's why it's not doing well. It's a $5 billion company. It looks like it's bottomed right close to about $10.25 or so. Double bottomed at that area back in October. And has been moving up ever since. My issue is, it's not compelling as far as the growth. If the growth turns around, I'm talking about sales growth. If that can turn around, then I'm much more optimistic about this company. So I would check that out. One thing that was nice, it's positive about today, it was up 24 cents a day in a down day. So that speaks well for moving against the trend. But again, I want to know why the growth is shrinking 30% for this last year. And what are they going to do about that? That would be the thing that I would focus on. The considerations, it looks decent. It's not a bad company. I just don't also trust the Russian government about leaving companies like this alone. And yeah, especially they're providing news, internet news. Russia controls that pretty tightly. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. So what are the problems with mutual funds? And there's several problems. There's three of them, three basic problems. One is how you acquire your mutual funds. Many people are sold a fund instead of going out and buying one. You're told to buy it. Here, buy this. To me, that's not good because usually that person is biased, whoever's trying to sell it to you. Second problem. Has to do with the management and structure of the mutual funds. Too many money managers simply aren't very good at selecting the stocks and bonds that go inside the fund. And those that are very good, many times are hamstrung by the prospectus. They can't move around very much. They got to do what the prospectus says, and it might be the wrong time to do that. So it leaves it up to you to whether you own that stock, that fund or not. So that's a problem. Then the third problem is asset allocation. Most financial planners and individual investors, due to a lack of training, do not know how to allocate assets. Depending on what study you read, asset allocation accounts for between 50 and 93% of your total investment experience over time. Not having the skills to analyze asset class valuations is an issue. Big issue. Think about 2008. How many people were told to take money out of the stock market or took money out of the stock market before the financial collapse? And how many, it's very difficult. Many people don't have the training. It's very difficult for professionals. Don't think we don't have trouble with that. We do. Our InvestTalk number is 888-99-CHART. Can you say that your retirement portfolio today truly reflects your risk tolerance? A really good thing to know is how much risk you're willing to take and can keep hold of your portfolio in a down market. And to know that, you need to know your risk tolerance. It's free. You can take our risk analysis tool. It's easy, free, quick. Just go to investtalk.com. I'm Steve Peasley, and this is Invest Talk, 888-99-CHART.
Thanks again for subscribing to our podcast. Investors wonder what they can do to help them tackle the investment risk mountain. 7 ways to limit investment risk. That's one of our talking points for Tuesday's podcast. We hope you'll join us then.
888-99-CHART. Our job number one, of course, is answering questions on that number. It's our 24-hour listener line number as well. So any money questions you want to ask, just call 888-99-CHART.
Yeah, hi, Steve and Justin. My name's David from Portland. I'm an avid podcast listener. I would love your take on ConocoPhillips, the symbol of COP. I'm thinking about investing in it. I like the dividend. This would be for a long-term investment. And yeah, I would just love your take. It looks pretty good on the chart. Looks like it might be a good time to pick it up. I would love your take on the fundamentals as well, if this is something that you guys would invest in. And then I'm wondering if maybe it would be better or safer to pick, you know, Chevron or something. But this looks like it's a better price. Anyway, I'd love your take on ConocoPhillips, symbol COP. Thanks. I'll be listening on the podcast.
COP, ConocoPhillips, engaged in exploration, production of crude oil and natural gas in 27 countries. It's a $67 billion company. It is a big company. It's like Exxon and Chevron and then ConocoPhillips. ConocoPhillips has a better dividend, 5.4%. It's a little bit less expensive, but then again, maybe not, because if you look at this year's earnings, they're actually going to lose money this year before they rebound and make 71 cents next year. So it looks expensive if you look forward. You look backward, in 2014, made $5.30, and it looks cheap. But you never look backward. You always look forward. However, the insiders are buying. There's been three insiders buying in recent months. One in March, one in August, late August, and one in October, it looks like. So the insiders are buying. Why would they buy? Well, notice that they bought, if you look at a chart, they bought as the thing came down. As the price has come down, it was a $70 or so a share back in April. Price came down all the way to $42. They bought, and now it's back up to $54.64. Yes, my answer is yes. I think there's a good place to buy. And because what's the reason the weakness of the earnings is all about the price of oil. So you got, just like Chevron and Exxon, what do you think oil is going to go? What do you think natural gas is going to go? Do you think it's going to get cheaper? Oil. Is it going to get cheaper? If your answer to that is no, it's probably not, then you want to put these things on because it looks like they're bottoming. They put in a bottom, these big oil companies. Now, don't expect to go straight up from here. It won't, you know, from that bottom. But it went up, went sideways for a month, went up again, went sideways for a month. And that's where we are now. So, you know, maybe you'll see some weakness. Maybe I'd buy the weakness on these guys. I'd buy them. I think they're smart buys. I think oil is not going to keep going down. We're going to talk about it here on one of our talking points. That's COP, everybody, ConocoPhillips. I like the dividend, too, at 5.4%. Pretty nice. China is U.S. largest trading partner now. China is. Our partner that has been our largest trading partner for many, many, many years has been Canada. Canada, our largest trading partner. And the only reason it dropped to number two, oil prices. Oil price has been cut in half in the last year. Canada exports a lot of oil to us via different methods. You know, that's why they want to put in that XL pipeline. They want to continue to keep exporting oil to us. So we ship it down through the coast, down to Gulf of Mexico, and either refine it ourselves, because they have a lot of dirty oil. We refine dirty oil. Or we ship it out through Gulf of Mexico to someplace else to be refined. And that is why they're number two. Nothing else. No other reason. Also, you know, China has grown so much. I mean, China's trade with us has grown 467% since 1985. So their growth of trade with us, China, has been very, very strong. And now that China has turned more to trying to boost their domestic economy as opposed to their exports, and they're trying to be more consumer-driven like our economy. That, and it's working pretty good. It's working. Don't think it isn't. It's working. That's going to help our import-export situation with China, because we export a lot of services, and we can do a lot of services. And when you become a consumer-driven economy, you know, one of the things the consumer needs is services. And we probably will be in there. When I say that, I'm talking about insurance companies and financial institutions and, you know, any kind of service legal services and accounting services, any kind of service that you watch, I think that the trade deficit we've been carrying for China forever is going to slowly reverse over the next 10, 15, 20 years, which is good. We want them to be a service-driven economy. We want that. We've reached the halfway mark, everybody, in the hour. If you're a podcast listener and would like to talk to me, you can. You can do it live if you call right now, Monday through Friday, 4 to 5 Pacific time. But you can also call the same number, 888-99-CHART, and ask a question anytime you want. Because we record your question, we try to play it on the next show. And as those who've asked questions, I think you've realized that that's pretty much what we do. We're pretty good at it. So give us a call, no matter where you are. 888-99-CHART.
Good advice. Spread your money around. Stick to a well-thought-out plan for carefully divvying up your money so no single calamity will destroy your portfolio. Want to talk about it? 888-99-CHART is how to get through right now. This is Invest Talk for Monday, November 9th. One of tomorrow's talking points is about limiting portfolio risk. The first step is to know your tolerance for risk and then determine if your current retirement portfolio matches up. Use our free risk analysis tool on investtalk.com. Just scroll down the page until you see the heading Free Personal Risk Analysis.
888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Let's go to Mike in San Jose. How you doing, Mike?
Good, Stu. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for the call.
I was just curious to see what your opinion might be for gold or GDX in particular.
Okay, gold. GDX, by the way, is the gold miners index. So that's looking at the gold miners versus gold, the price of gold specifically. And it looks like they're retesting the lows again. This is gold and gold miners, which is right near, GDX is right near $13 and is trading right now at $13.83. It's up 37 cents today. And so if it breaks that lows, I think you've got to go. I think you got to give up. Eventually, gold is going to rally, Mike. I just can't tell you when. If the Federal Reserve starts raising rates, that is not supportive of gold. Because that raising rates means a dollar would go up, and if dollar gets stronger, gold goes down, generally speaking. So that's why it's been weak ever since the Federal Reserve met and said they're going to think about raising rates in December. The gold price has come down. Now it bounced today, so now that December rate might be built in. So I'm hoping it'll hold here and it might go up for you. So do you buy it? Do you own it already, Mike, or you want to buy it?
No, I haven't bought it yet, but I was almost going to today with GDX, but I'm just really looking for a bounce like 15:30,
yeah,
around there.
I think that'd be a good idea. Wait for the bounce. If it does bounce, just buy it, because it will rally at some point. Gold is tough. It's a tough because so many things can push it around. Mike, appreciate the call. Thank you. Let's talk to Frank in San Carlos. How you doing, Frank?
I'm doing okay. Doing okay.
Thanks.
Hey, I got a company, LCI Lynette Pharmaceutical. I'm already in it, and they came out with earnings, and I think they met all their numbers. They had bad. The only thing was their operating expense was up 54%. They are buying another company with stuff in the pipeline. I'm in it for the long haul, but I want to hear your views.
Okay, LCI is a Lynette, everybody. A Lynette company developed generic versions of drugs that treat thyroid deficiencies. I like the area a lot. I like the generic drug area. It's going to require Unity UCB, a genetic pharmaceutical company, for $1.23 billion. Now, the problem with buying $1.23 billion company is that your own company is only $1.3 billion. You're trying to swallow a company as big as you. That's tough to do. That's really tough to do. And that's probably why you're seeing a lot of weakness, because they got to issue stocks. They got to do the deal. The price of the stock is pretty inexpensive, by the way. Lynette, it's pretty low price. They're going to make $3.97 this year. That's 2% less than last year. And then up 15% next year to $4.56. And it's a $37 stock. That's cheap. No matter how you look at it, that's a cheap stock. If it can do what it says it can do, it's a very low price. I think, Frank, it's trying to swallow a company as big as yourself and then make it run smooth. It's going to take several years, very difficult. And most investors that have been around a long time, like myself, we know that this is going to cost some big bucks. It's not going to be a smooth transition. And we're not quite, everybody's probably not quite sure how well it will work out yet. That's what you're saying.
Yeah, well, I'm kind of holding this for the long term, but maybe I wait until fourth quarter and see how they acquire this company and what the forecast is, I guess.
Yeah, you might want to do that and see how much they can save by getting rid of duplicate management and those kinds of things. We'll see. Frank, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. But that's why they're having trouble. Is they're buying, they're swallowing. There's a couple other issues, but that's the big issue. Trying to swallow a company as big as yourself. Usually, a company A buys company B, it's much smaller. Okay, and it's much easier to fold it into your systems. This one, you know, you're going to fold in a exact same size company as yourself into your systems. That's tough to do in a short period of time. It's just tough, very difficult to do. Okay, it's time for InvestTalk Personal, the everyday money choices you make that can have a lasting impact. With the Thanksgiving and Christmas coming, people are traveling. An often unclear element of travel is what to do about rental car insurance. There's a lot of confusion. Should you buy the coverage they offer? It's one of them. I'll tell you this. These rental car companies make the most money off the insurance. That's where they make the most of their money. Not the rental itself, but the insurance that they're charging you. It's huge. Multiply the insurance times 365 days a year and figure out how much that insurance costs. It's huge. According to the National Association of Insurance Commissioners, 62% of customers don't believe their personal auto insurance automatically covers rental cars. Another 24% aren't sure whether their credit cards will cover the rental car. So let's see if we can clear up this. American Express Card Hub released their 2015 credit card rental car insurance study, and American Express received the highest score. American Express covers the rental car. Discover. There are country exclusions for Discover. Country exclusions from to cover the rental cars. Also, they may have issues with cars, accidents on dirt roads. Visa coverage lasts 15 days for rental cars in your country of residence and 31 days outside your country of residence. But they also have countries that are specifically excluded also. And they don't cover accidents on dirt roads. MasterCard. Only MasterCard World cards are eligible for coverage. MasterCard will only cover accidents on dirt and gravel roads if they are regularly maintained. So, that's why there's confusion. Everybody's a little bit different. But most of the time, your credit cards cover it. Not your car, not the rental, not your personal auto insurance, but the damage you do to a rental car is usually covered under your credit card. Liability insurance? See, this is one of the gray areas. What about liability insurance? None of these dealt with liability insurance, just with damage to the car. What's the limits on the liability insurance? If you have a credit card that covers it, what's the limit? It's still not clear. That's InvestTalk Personal. Maybe you have some experience to share on this. Please get through to us if you do. 888-99-CHART. You can send me a note, or you can come directly to me, and just by clicking on Contact Steve on InvestTalk.com or at KPP Financial on Twitter.
InvestTalk is made possible by KPP Financial. If you're considering using the services of a professional investment advisor, click on the Investments tab on InvestTalk.com. You'll see programs designed to meet specific criteria that matches up with the goals and preferences
of people looking for growth, income, or more manageable risk. Find out more on investtalk.com.
888-99-CHART. We're going to talk to Robbie in Sunnyvale. How are you doing, Robbie?
Doing good. Thanks for taking the call, Steve.
Thank you.
Hi. I wanted to know about Aetna, AET. It went all the way up to 116 and then kind of came down in the last few days.
Right.
What's your outlook in the short term?
I kind of like Aetna. I think they have a good Aetna, everybody. Out of Hartford, Connecticut, provides managed healthcare services nationwide through POS, PPOs, HMOs, HSAs, indemnity plans. They have 46 million customers out there. They're going to grow their earnings by 13% this year, another 8% next year. They're $8.13. They're growing their sales in the single digits. It's a big company, $37 billion, so you're not going to get a lot of huge growth from them. And they're not that expensive. It's a 14 PE. Next year, the PE is going to be 80 plus 420. So next year, the PE is going to be about the same, not too much different. Not a big dividend payer, good return on equity. So it's a good, solid company. One of those kinds will be that you buy for the long term and you hold on to it. But it's not going to pay you a high dividend. Don't think in those terms. You might get a little bit better growth than the single digits, but not too much. So you kind of want to buy this when it's cheap. And it's not, I wouldn't say, Robbie, it's really cheap. I think it's fairly priced right now. Fairly priced.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks for the call. That's Aetna, A-E-T, everybody. A-E-T. Same will be in trade. This is another Robbie. You don't get too many of those in a row. And from San Jose. How you doing, Robbie?
Hi, Steve. How are you doing?
Good. Thanks for the call.
I have a question. So some companies claim they have some platforms wherein they claim that they can know how big banks are trading, and accordingly they can adjust their trades, how the financial institutions are doing. So that should be public information, right? So how can we find, I don't really believe in those companies that, okay, we can learn the trading in a week or so, we can take the training and start trading. I don't want to do that. Just I wanted to learn how these big banks will be trading.
Okay. They really can't do what they say they do. It's because it's all public information. Anytime any kind of system, trading system, strategy, think they have some big secret they're going to share with you, that's all not true. I'm trying to be nice by saying not true than other words I could use. It's simple. You can learn to be a better trader. That's no doubt in my mind. You can learn that. That's a skill. But there's no black box out there. None. There's only experience. Learning what the institutions do, watching the chart, trying to understand, learning the language of charting. And I always tell people, charting and understanding that what makes stocks move up, down, this is an art. This is not a science. It tends to be true. It's not always true. And so and I'll tell you one more thing. If somebody or some company, some group of people had a system that was anywhere near consistent about making money, they would never share it with you. They would never sell it to you. They'd use it.
That's true. Why would they share? Why would they train? So my question was, is there any website wherein we can read the, may not be real time, but maybe know like how the big banks are trading, like what are the stock they are buying and all this?
Well, a lot of the big banks and mutual funds and institutions, they try to hide their activity from you and me. Do you realize that? They don't want people to know what they're doing. So they use a lot of different brokers. So there's really no good source to know until after the fact. Then you find out what they did, but not while they're doing it. So I would say no, because I would be buying if there was, Robbie. I'd be buying that data if I could. Morningstar has very good data, and they keep track of what has happened and try to give you a trend. Oh, these mutual funds are trying to buy more and more of this stock. But it's pretty hit and miss. It really is. Thank you for the call, Robbie. I appreciate it. Thank you. 888-99-CHART. October jobs report may be an outlier. This report that came out Friday. It was 271,000 new jobs for October. They weren't expecting that many. There's two federal reports that came out that are talking about jobs. There's one called the Federal Labor Index. Rose from 1.3 in September to 1.6 in October. Okay, September, that's positive, and it's been positive for 6 months. September did go up, but it's not that big of a jump. In all of 2015, it's about 1.5%, and 2014, it was 5.4%. So this year it's 1.5, last year it's 5.4. No indication that we should have this huge jump of jobs on that report. There's another called the Employment Trend Index by the Conference Board. It edged up to, okay, so it went to 129.5 in October from 128.7. It means the pay should be about 200,000 jobs a month, not between 250 and 300,000, not the 271,000, about 200. So both these reports are kind of indicating that this 271,000 job number is probably going to be reduced next month. Remember how they revise them every month? It is probably an outlier. We're probably going to move down unless something dramatic happens in the economy, which I don't think is going to happen. So it may be an outlier, meaning not normal. Meaning, will the Fed raise the rates as they keep hinting and stronger hinting at in December? That's their last meeting for the year. And I read the various statements from the various nine members who vote in recently. And not all of them are agreeing, by the way. The majority of them kind of hint that they want to vote to say yes in December. But there's nine of them, and there's three or four of them say, no, that don't look like it to us. What happens if the jobs report is really reduced strongly in the November jobs report that they will get before December meeting? What if that's not so strong? And there's no inflation for them to worry about, which is the other reason they're supposed to raise rates, to control inflation. So why not join our InvestTalk Insiders, everybody? You'll have instant access to lots of easy-to-read information sheets or on important investment concepts, plus viable lists, dividend-focused ETFs, commodity ETFs, REITs lists, real estate investment trusts. Just go to InvestTalk.com and sign up.
Our podcast distribution is made possible every day by KPP Financial, Steve Peasley, President. Join Steve and Justin for our next webinar. This one came from our first ever listeners poll, Building a Strong Portfolio with Less Risk and Finding Strong Dividend-Paying Stocks. The date is November 18th. The time is 6:30 p.m. Pacific Time. It's free, and you can sign up right now on investtalk.com.
Hi, Steve. This is Lorraine in Lowell, Indiana. I got a question about Exelon, the utility company. Their stock has been tanking lately, and the one I'm concerned about is their preferred stock. If you could give me an analysis or why you think that's going on with the stock. I guess they're trying to do a merger, if that's it, or there's something else wrong with the company. Thanks. Bye.
Okay, Exelon Corporation, they're out of Chicago, engaged in a generation and distribution of electricity to 6.6 million customers in Pennsylvania, Maryland, and Illinois. Now, when you're thinking about, when you're looking at utilities producing electricity, the thing you want to remember that they are going to be affected by interest rates, because most utilities have debt. They borrowed money to build out or improve or whatever is their network. And this company has debt, of course. And if the Fed is going to raise interest rates, they will negatively affect the company. Notice that the company has been going down recently because ever since the Fed has been talking about it. And the Fed's talked about it all year long, and you'll notice his stock has been going down all year long. Now, it's not always this obvious, but the higher the debt the utility carries, the more sensitive they'll be to interest rates. You buy utilities for dividend yields, right? And you got to remember, utilities rates are controlled by the state most of the time. They can't just charge whatever they want to make more money. They are controlled. And how are they controlled? They'll make them, they'll let the state or whoever is in charge of their rates will let them raise rates if they can justify it. It's one of the reasons why a lot of utilities carry debt, because they know they get it paid. So they don't care. I'm not a big utility person unless you want them to, because the dividend. The dividend here is 4.3%. Probably is pretty solid. I don't see any reason why it's not. Not a lot of growth. It's, you know, it's growing, but not very much. So it's worth about where it is. You know, there's no justification for it to be much higher in price than where it is right now. So don't think it's going to go up. Don't think it's going to collapse. No. And it went from $38 at the top to $28. I would say it's getting pretty close to where it will stop falling unless we go into recession. But if the Fed starts raising rates, you know, it will affect them negatively. If the Fed stops raising rates or lowers rates, it'll affect them positively. It's as simple as that. So just try to remember, all utilities are pushed around by interest rates, unless they're not carrying much debt. The debt is what is the problem. Watch your debt. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. OPEC, the people that kind of trying to be a monopoly of oil, OPEC, has open disagreements between its members. So Oman criticized Saudi Arabia and the United Arab Emirates, saying that their philosophy of printing and producing as much oil as they can is counterproductive. And weighing in on that same side as Oman is Venezuela and Algeria, saying the same thing. They want, of course, no one wants to cut production. Those guys, Venezuela, Oman, they want Saudi Arabia and UAE to cut production. Oh, Saudi Arabia doesn't want to, because they're trying to drive out our shale oil industry, which is being affected by them. There's no doubt about that. But not nearly driving out as much oversupply as they thought they could. And there is the rub. Now, for the consumer, you, me as consumers, this is really good news. Hey, pump all you want. Keep the price down. We want the price down. We want it lower. As investors in the oil industry, you got to be pretty careful, because, you know, the lower the price, the tougher it is to make money. And everybody knows this, right? Everybody knows that the oil price has been cut in half, and everybody knows that profits are squeezing. So that has been built into the price of the stocks. So it's now a question of, do we buy them here? 888-99-CHARGE is our number, everybody. Thank you for calling. We'll do this again tomorrow. I'm registered investment advisor Steve Peasley. And for Justin Klein and everybody at KPP Financial, thanks for listening, and we hope you join us again on the next Invest Talk.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.